Good evening, or good morning in this case, ladies, gentlemen, theys, and gays. This is The Real Pineapple. This is your humble host, Hunter, here. Hope you're having a great night, day, weekend, whenever you're checking this out. Happy Sunday to y'all. Happy WrestleMania weekend. We conclude WrestleMania tonight with night two of Mania. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, I believe. On Peacock. So if you are a WWE fan, that's where you can check out night two. I already gave my predictions for the show, which you can go ahead and check out on The Real Pineapple. You can check it out on my YouTube, Spotify, where else? SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, to name a few spots. But that recording is already up as well. It was a Twitch stream I did as well, so you can check it out at twitch.tv/TheRealPineapple. So I went ahead and I looked up. Oh my gosh! Wow, I'm still waking up. I woke up about 30 minutes ago, which is why I have this coffee here. That's the stuff. But I went ahead and I rewatched the beginning of last night's Mania because I did miss the first two matches. I will say about Mania, and I felt the same way last year. I think the fact that WWE made it a two-night event was actually a really good call because there was just a point. These Manias were feeling so goddamn long. Like, I love pro wrestling, but especially being there live, I can't imagine being there, 7 hours and being able to maintain my enthusiasm. So I think the fact that they went ahead and made it a two-night event is one of the smartest things that they've done business-wise in forever. Also, it does go ahead and obviously mean that you can sell a whole nother night of tickets. So it from a business standpoint, it makes sense. It makes sense as well. But with that said, let's talk about night one. So night one started off with a fantastic, I thought, opener. We went ahead and we got the man, Becky Lynch, New York Times bestseller, Becky Lynch. Let's put some respect on Becky Lynch's name. She went ahead and she took on Mommy, fine-ass, talented-ass Rhea Ripley for the Women's Championship. And I will say, great opener. Great fucking opener. That match was put in the perfect spot to succeed, and I think that they did a hell of a job. Rhea Ripley got a really cool entrance. The band that does her music, they went ahead and played her out to the ring, and it was a fucking vibe. Rhea Ripley looked hyped. She knew what that moment meant for her and for her legacy. And I will say, with Rhea Ripley beating Charlotte Flair last year at Mania, which I'll be honest, I was shocked by because, WWE, one of the terms that a lot of the internet wrestling community uses is WWE loves WWE, and it meaning that WWE loves to get in their own way a lot of the times when it comes to booking decisions where you go, okay, there's a very obvious winner here, and this person should win. Don't overthink this shit and just make the person who should win have them win, this big match. And WWE loves to get in their own way more often than they really should for being as big of a company as they are. They didn't do that last year. They actually gave Rhea the win, and I think she's had a good championship reign. I think my biggest issue with Rhea's reign over last year, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't watch WWE regularly. I'll catch, a YouTube clip or a Twitter clip. I'm not even subscribed to any of their shit just because, You know, they go to Saudi Arabia each year, and that still just grosses me out. But I think Rhea's reign has been kind of eh. I thought the match she had with Zelina Vega at Backlash last year was really great. I thought that was a really fun match. And then the match she had just last month against Nia Jax in Australia, in Perth, for Elimination Chamber. I thought that was a really good match. But yeah, I think Rhea's title reign has just been not booked very strong. I stand by what I said prior to Mania last night. I think the story, and I'm sure they'll get to it, but it really should have been Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. That was the story that had the most momentum. That's the story that made the most sense. And the fact they didn't book that for Mania, I think, is really fucking stupid. But I'm sure we'll get that match. I don't know. Maybe SummerSlam. I don't know if you delay it that long, but I think that should have been the match over Becky. With that said, Becky Lynch went into last night's match with a strep throat and a 102 degree temperature, which I was like, that fucking sucks. And it was like 52 degrees because it kept showing the temperature at points during the night. It was like a 52 degrees last night when they were wrestling. And so I give Becky Lynch all the credit in the world for toughing it out. I hope she's resting today because she fucking should be. I know it's a Mania weekend, so I'm sure she's not. I'm sure she's just, you know, I'm sure she went and got some drugs and said, fuck it. But I'm proud of her. I'm proud of what the women did last night. There are a couple spots in particular that really stood out to me. Becky Lynch worked on the arm, which makes a ton of fucking sense. You know, Rhea Ripley's a powerhouse. So you would want to go and try to take her strength away. There's this one spot in particular where Rhea had Becky on her shoulders in a electric chair position and actually got through the ropes all the way to the outside while maintaining having Becky on her shoulders. It was an amazing feat of strength on Ripley's part, an amazing bit of balance on Lynch's part. And then she went ahead and just dropped Becky on her back. It was a cool ass spot, and credit to both ladies on that front. But between that, it just had a big match feel to it as well. But Becky hit the manhandle slam at a point in the match. She reversed out of Rhea's attempted riptide, which is her pump handle. Which is her pump handle slam. She was able to counter out of that, hit a manhandle slam for a really close two count. And I won't lie, they actually got me to bite on that pinfall. I was like, oh shit, she's gonna win. No, and Rhea kicked out at the absolute last second. Rhea's become a very great near fall kickout artist. I still think Kurt Angle is the best one. Like, he's so Kurt Angle was so good at kicking out like at 2.9 and just selling you. Like Kurt was so good at that. I don't know if anyone will ever touch Kurt Angle on that front, but Rhea's getting there. Rhea had a couple times last night where she really sold almost losing. So props to her on that. But in the end, I really like the end sequence. Becky had Rhea on the middle turnbuckle. She was going for a top rope manhandle slam. Rhea was able to get out of it, gave her a riptide into the turnbuckle, repositioned herself, caught her again, and then hit another riptide to go ahead and get the win. So Rhea Ripley once again retained and is now over a year as a women's champion. Really solid match, really great opener. I would give this a solid A- to start the night. I thought this was a great opener. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So moving on to the next match, which was the tag ladder match. My God, there are so many themes in this. So we had Awesome Truth, which was The Miz and Miz and R-Truth. We had DIY, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. We had Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. We had New Day. We had the Judgment Day, which is a Damian Priest and Finn Balor. And then we had a New Catch Republic, which is a Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. So, okay. Let me just get this out of the way. This match was just a clusterfuck, as a lot of these ladder matches are. I think you could have gotten this down to four teams, and it would have been, I think it would have flowed better. I can't really think of any spots that stood out to me. Actually, that's not true. There's a couple. There was, so R-Truth, how old is R-Truth? I think R-Truth is like 50. I think he is. He's 52. Has not aged in like 20 years. The man's fucking incredible, and he can still do the splits like it's nothing. I'm a huge R-Truth fan, and when it comes to actual comedy in wrestling, most of the time it's incredibly cringe, and yet R-Truth has found a way to make pro wrestling funny and make it fun. And they actually gave him a fun storyline with the Judgment Day of him, you know, maybe being in the group, not being in the group, them taking advantage of him to win matches. I love R-Truth. I mean, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, which people forget about. I fucking love R-Truth. But I was really like, come on, man. Like, let's give R-Truth a WrestleMania moment. And so they unified the tag titles, I want to say a couple years ago, because the Usos lost them to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens last year. But they went ahead and they finally split the tag titles back up, which thank fuck they did that. No one needs to have two sets of titles. It's absurd. So I was really happy they did that. What I was not happy about is that they had Austin Theory and Grayson Waller win the tag titles, the SmackDown tag titles. I hated that decision. I hated that decision. I think Grayson Waller could be something. I think he's actually pretty entertaining on the stick, on the microphone. They've been trying with Austin Theory, and I'm sure Austin Theory's a nice dude. I think he has a good look, but I think he is just boring as sandpaper. And I don't get why we're still trying this. I think people, most of you have probably already forgotten, Austin Theory beat John Cena last year. He beat John Cena to retain his United States Championship. And that feels like it means fucking nothing. He beat a 16-time world champion, or sorry, 15-time world, 15 or 16 times, I can't remember. But he beat fucking John Cena. And it felt like it did nothing for his career. So him winning a tag title, I just went, God damn it. Like, it really bothered me that he won. But with that said, awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth did win the Raw Tag Team Championship. So the match at least ended on a good note, which I was happy about. But Grayson Waller and Austin Theory winning just really pissed me off. It was fine for a ladder match, some chaotic spots, but yeah, overall it was aight. I'd give it I'd go C plus on it. It was a fine match. Get some more coffee here. Good grief. Okay, moving on to what was my most anticipated match of night one, straight up, Jimmy versus Jey Uso. So as I mentioned, the Usos, the Usos went ahead and were, the Undisputed Tag Team Champions last year. They went ahead and, lost to Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. And then, they went ahead and ended up splitting up around the summer. So we got main event Jey Uso and then Jimmy Uso, who's been like the bad guy. This has been my biggest issue with the Bloodline. And it's kind of been one of my issues with WWE in general, is that when WWE finds something, even if you want to go ahead, even if all logic tells you, you should end this shit now, because it's going to overstay its welcome, if it's making them money, they don't give a shit. And it's not about that. Here's the thing. The WWE just signed, what, a $500 million Netflix deal? WWE is not struggling for money. So when people, when WWE fans throw that out in my face, they're like, oh, it makes some money. Who gives a shit? They're swimming in money. It does not fucking matter. It's the same shit I say about Disney. Like, well, 2D animation takes longer. It's like, so the fuck what? If it's going to be better for your brand and give you guys a better product, who gives a shit? You're making money hand over fist. And I will say the promo package, holy shit. The promo package that WWE put together for Jimmy vs. Jay is one of the best promo packages they've done in a decade. Easy. I'm sure that's on YouTube by now. It's on Twitter. Look that shit up, because that promo package was genuinely perfect. And it got me so excited for the match. With that said, Jimmy Jay has been doing the whole yeet shit. I don't like that. I really don't like that at all, especially because Pat McAfee has just been yelling it at the top of his lungs, and Pat McAfee is just, he's grating on commentary. I was a big fan of Pat McAfee when he first came in for commentary. I thought his energy was infectious, and he felt like a fan in the best way. And man, that shit, like, they've kind of made him go more heel, which I don't really understand why. I don't know if it's because he's friends with Aaron Rodgers, so by default he has to be a bad guy. But it has been exhausting hearing him on commentary recently. And last night he was flat out getting on my fucking nerves. He was taking away from moments for me. With that said, Jay Uso came out with Lil Wayne, who, it was really weird. Lil Wayne rapped maybe 45 seconds of a milli and then just stopped and then just kept going like, it's you. And I was like, all right, you get Lil Wayne, one of the greatest rappers to ever do it, and he's not rapping him all the way to the ring. Like, it's just this 45 second like iTunes clip, iTunes music clip of a milli. It was bad, and straight up, it kind of set the tone for the match, unfortunately. When you think about WrestleMania matches as far as brother against brother, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, WrestleMania 10, that's still the gold standard. That's still one of the best openers in the history of not just WrestleMania, but pay-per-view. That match is about as close to perfect as you can get. That was a perfectly paced and executed matchup. I fucking love that Bret versus Owen match. Lil Wayne was bad. He flat out sucked, and the match flat out sucked. They had no chemistry. The crowd was dead for it. Like, the crowd was excited when they initially got going, and that match just died a death. I don't know what happened. They had such a great match last year against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And to see, like, you could tell this match meant a lot to them, to get the big stage, to get a chance to show out against each other. And I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know if you needed to make this a no holds barred match, but then that probably takes away from the Bloodline rules match for tonight. I don't know if you make this like false count anywhere. I think that could have actually maybe helped kind of open the match up a little bit. But if you're an AEW hater, I never want, or a Young Bucks hater, I never want to hear you say shit ever again. There were probably 20 super kicks in that match, to a point where I was just numb to it. And I love the super kick. Shawn Michaels is one of my favorite wrestlers. I love his sweet shit music. I love the super kick. I think it's a great fucking move. And I just left the match not just bummed, but upset, because it was my most anticipated match. And that hype package got me hyped all over again. And they just didn't deliver. It made me, I can't even remember what Mania it was. I think it was Mania 25, where it was Jeff Hardy against Matt Hardy. That was a storyline where Matt burned down Jeff's house and killed his dog, which I was like, you know, what the fuck? But that match wasn't good. That match was pretty shit too. And this was worse than that. At least the Hardy Boys match had no DQ, so they're able to use like ladders and shit. But yeah, it was a really heatless match, and I was bummed. I was really bummed because I know they wanted to have their moment, and I'm, you know, just from a cast standpoint, I guess that's cool, like that they had their moment. But yeah, a very underwhelming and a really disappointing match that for me dragged the night down. So I'd give it a C-. I was really disappointed. I was really disappointed, and I don't know. I think that Jey Uso, as far as being, you know, his new nickname, Main Event Jey Uso, I think he has shown that he can definitely be a great, that he can be great one-on-one as a singles wrestler. I haven't seen that from Jimmy yet. So I don't know if you team them back up down the road. Like, I mean, they're going to, obviously. They're fucking brothers, and they're one of the best tag teams of all time. They'll team up again at some point. But I do think you can get more juice out of Main Event Jey Uso. But yeah, as far as them having like a series of matches, I don't want to see another one, at least for 6-8 months. Maybe they can work out the kinks and figure out how to work together as opponents. Really disappointing. And yeah, I was not a fan. Yeah, but yeah, not a great match. So yeah, C- for me, I would say. But moving on, going on to what was that? Oh yeah, wow. Okay, that told you all you need to know right there. I totally forgot I skipped the match. there was Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. They took on Rey Mysterio and Andrade. I'm a big fan of Andrade. I'm a big fan of Mysterio. I think Dirty Dom Mysterio is one of the best heels in all wrestling. He's fucking amazing. He's great. And then Santos Escobar, I'm a really big fan of his as well. So I thought this would be a fun tag match. Yeah, like it was it was fun, but nothing that deemed it worthy of a WrestleMania match for me personally. It felt like you could have seen this match on TV. But it was still fun. I would say, did I like it more in the ladder match? Probably not. I mean, I'd go C plus on it. Yeah, I'd go C plus on this. Yeah, not a ton to write home about. I will say one thing that did agitate me quite a bit is the fact that you have Dom lose to Rey in a 1-on-1 match, and then you have him take the pin again last night. I hated that. I really, really, really hated that they had Dom lose again on a big stage. He needs to start winning some of these matches. By the way, shout out to Afternoon Tune. I don't know when I'll be on. Maybe I'll be on this week. Who knows? But not like I have a job to clock into right now, but he's 49. And Rey Mysterio is still moving around great, by the way, for being 49 years old. Like, he's still doing springboards and diving off the rope. Like, Mysterio can still go. I will say, I wasn't over the moon about the match, but it was fine. So yeah, I'd give it a C plus. No, I thought it was all right. Yeah, with that said, moving on, we had Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi taking on Damage Control. Yeah, so Jade Cargill, fucking badass. You know, loved her in AEW. She had this very, you know, Final Boss kind of Goldberg-esque feel to her. I love her pump kick. Her pump kick always just looks fucking clean. I love her pump kick. And Jade Cargill, she looks like a fucking superhero. She looks like she's chiseled out of granite. And if you haven't seen her new WWE entrance, her solo entrance, I highly recommend you look it up. It's fucking epic. But I love the very Mortal Kombat-esque entrance that Naomi, Bianca Belair, and Jade had last night. It was really fucking cool. I almost choked on my hamburger last night when I saw what Dakota Kai was wearing. Jesus Christ. Dakota Kai looked fantastic, as she always does. And considering how Dakota Kai has gone through some injuries, I'm so happy she got on the Mania card and that she's getting to be the new kind of de facto leader of Damage Control. I'm such a fan of Dakota Kai. I've been a fan of hers for years. And Asuka and Kairi Sane, I've loved them for, I followed their careers from, you know, back in Japan. Asuka's makeup was fucking perfect. It looked very Omen-esque. Asuka and Kairi aren't white, moron. The makeup looked fantastic on the Kabuki Warriors. But it was all about Jade Cargill. I thought there were some really solid moments in this match. Jade got to show off her power off the hot tag. She looked great. The moment didn't look too big for her. And considering this was her first Mania, you know, you always kind of go like, what's a performer going to do on a stage like this? And she, Dakota Kai looked good. I'm talking about all the women look good, man. Goddamn. Fucking fantastic. Really good match. Jade ended up catching, hit her with Jaded, which is her double underhook face buster. Looked great. Everyone bumped for Jade really well. Made her look like $1 million. I got a really hard laugh out of Asuka dancing to Jade, Naomi, and Bianca coming out and like booing at the same time. That was really funny. But yeah, really solid match. I'd go B- for this. I really enjoyed this match. This was fun. So yeah, B- for me. Moving on to Sami Zayn versus Gunther. So Gunther, Gunther has been the final boss. He's really been the final boss of wrestling at this point. 666 days as WWE Intercontinental Champion. He has had great matches with Sheamus, with Gunther, with Chad Gable, with Bronson Reed, with Sami Zayn, with like Gunther has been incredible in this role. And Gunther came in, you know, little thicker, you know, thicker dude, but definitely still in like good ring shape. I do not subscribe to the WWE bullshit of like you have to be chiseled and ripped. Like, you don't have to be. If you can look at someone like Samoa Joe, like if you can wrestle between the ropes, that's what should fucking matter. Who gives a shit? But Gunther put in some work, and he definitely lost probably like 50 pounds at least, and he's more chiseled and ripped, and he looks like a superstar, and credit to him for putting in the work. He was fantastic last night. And Sami Zayn, I've loved Sami Zayn ever since his Ring of Honor days when he was El Generico. Sami Zayn is the shit. He's been the shit. It kind of bothers me, to be honest, that now that there are WWE fans kind of going like, oh, Sami Zayn's great. I didn't know that over the last couple of years. He's been so good. It's like, nah, Sami Zayn's been great for a decade plus. Sami Zayn's always been great. Y'all are just slow to catch up. But they had a Rocky IV style fight. That's what this was, and it was kind of perfect. Gunther chopped the absolute shit out of Sami Zayn at multiple points. Gunther looked like he was borderline having an orgasm. He was laughing so much. He looked so happy. It was so funny. He looked so happy to just be beating the shit out of this guy. And what I love from a heel perspective, as Gunther kept looking out to the audience because Sami Zayn's wife was front row. And he kept just smiling at her and just being like, I'm going to beat the shit out of your husband. And he kept doing it. And Sami Zayn's kids right there in front row, like, oh, it was such great heel work. I loved it. Loved it, loved it. But Gunther hit like three or four power bombs on like two or three actually power bombs on him, hit a couple splashes from the top rope, but very similar to Rocky IV, he got cocky and Sami Zayn was able to go ahead and get some momentum, hit a ridiculous, and I mean a ridiculous top rope brainbuster, which Gunther sold like death. He sold it perfectly. That went ahead and led to the Huluva kick, and Sami Zayn for the, I think it's his third time as the Intercontinental Champion. It's the second or third time. But Sami Zayn, once again, is the Intercontinental Champion. A really great match. I'm upset because I really think that should have been Chad Gable's spot. I think Sami Zayn has been, like, Sami Zayn doubting himself is not a new storyline. But at the same time, I'm such a fan of Sami Zayn and the political stances that he's, you know, taken at points about not going to Saudi Arabia and stuff like that. I think Sami Zayn is a, I don't know, I'm such a fan of Zayn, so I can't really be mad at him winning. But this was, for me, the match of the night. This was a solid A. I really enjoyed this match. All right. So, getting to the main event, The Rock and Roman Reigns teamed up to take on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. If The Rock and Roman Reigns won, the implication being that for tonight's match, Cody's match against Roman Reigns, it's bloodline rules, meaning anything goes. If Cody and Rollins won, then it would just be a straight up one-on-one match. So, okay, let's get this out of the way. WWE did not plan this. There's no part of WWE that planned this. WWE wanted Rock versus Roman. That's what they wanted. Full stop. That is all they wanted. But people like me, people who have a functioning brainstem, went, we don't want to see a 52-year-old man who hasn't wrestled a one-on-one match in over a decade taking on a champion who has not wrestled a one-on-one match in almost a year. April 11th, Crown Jewel against LA Knight in Saudi Arabia. That was the last time that Roman Reigns had a one-on-one match. I didn't want to see that match. I could not give a fuck if we ever get that match. So when they went, oh, we're going to pivot and have The Rock be, you know, heel, I went, oh, you're actually doing a smart thing. I don't really want The Rock back in WWE, but hey, this is at least a smart pivot. And I will say, credit where it's due, The Rock has leaned, I think there's a lot more heel tendencies to The Rock than, I mean, there are more heel tendencies to The Rock than meets the eye. Because when he's been coming out talking about how, you know, you all ruined it. You ruined what would have been the greatest WrestleMania main event ever, which, no, that not true. It wouldn't have been the greatest WrestleMania main event ever. But I'm sure there's a part of The Rock that's genuinely pissed off that, you know, the fans used their voices and, you know, they didn't go see Black Adam. But I'm sure that there's a large part of The Rock where there's some truth to that, where he is fucking angry that, you know, the crowd used their voice and went, fuck that, we don't want this match. So the fact they made this attack match, I will say props to them, at least for pivoting. It makes no fucking sense at all about why Cody would just willingly go through the Royal Rumble and give up his one-on-one match to The Rock. Made no sense, and even WWE at a point just went, we can't even justify this, we're just going to pretend that didn't happen. So it was interesting going into this match to see how it was going to be. So let's get the negative out of the way first. This match was 45 fucking minutes. There was no goddamn reason this match should have been 45 minutes. None at all. It was too long. It was to the point where it was self-indulgent. Like, it was straight up self-indulgent. Like, to a point where I was sitting there going, man, I could be watching Oppenheimer right now, and I'd be a third of the way, and I'd be a third of the way through it. Like, Jesus Christ. It was very self-indulgent. Didn't need to be that long. Two, the first, God, two-thirds of this match was so boring. I was so goddamn bored. I was bored to tears. I was like, can we move this shit the fuck along? Like, could not care less for the first half hour of this match. However, that last 15 minutes was great. The last 15 minutes was a ton of fun. I was like, oh, okay, now you're picking it up. Oh yeah, if you were one of those Rock Roman fans, The Rock was gassed pretty quick. So all you fuckers who are going like, we should have gotten this one-on-one match, sit down and shut the fuck up, because that match would have been terrible if we'd gotten the one-on-one match. And this match proved that. Like, keep The Rock in tag matches. If he's going to do a one-on-one match, that shit does not need to be longer than 15 minutes. Yeah, dude, he was gassed, man. Even on that people's elbow, he was gassed. But what I will say, though, is The Rock did a lot more than I thought he would. He took a rock bottom from Cody through a table. His heel work was actually very well done. He used his whole, like, I'm a TKO board member, and flat out yelled at the ref. And this was like 10 minutes in. He was like, if you count us out, you're fucking fired. Really hilarious job by Peacock by completely missing the F-bomb by like 5 seconds. So you got this random bleep. That was fucking funny. But yeah, I like, the match did pick up in the back third. But one of my biggest issues, which is what I've been saying, is that this doesn't feel like a Rock, like a Cody Roman feud anymore. It feels like a Cody Rock feud, but we're not going to get that match. At least not yet. And I'll get to that in a second, but The Rock kind of being there, it's taking heat off of Rock and Roman, which has been my big bitch about Chris Jericho over in AEW, is that Jericho, you know, his career is clearly winding down, and he's leeching onto these new up-and-comers who have heat, and by association with him, he's taken their heat away. And it's really quite frustrating as a fan, because I don't like it, and I feel like The Rock is doing the same thing. You know, let's call it what it is. If The Rock's attempted, you know, January 6th-esque takeover of DC Comics, it worked out, he wouldn't be in WWE right now. There's no fucking way he'd be back. But because that failed and he needed to go somewhere, you know, he crawled back to the Fast franchise. He crawled back to WWE. That's all this is. Like, there's no part of me that thinks he wanted to really wrestle a match. But I will go ahead and give him, you know, the man's about to turn 52. And he sold the spear that he got from Roman. He sold it like absolute death. That was actually a great fucking sell. He took that table spot, as I mentioned. But he actually went ahead and put some work in. So I gotta give him credit. Gotta give him credit for that. But in the end, one of the big stories, one of the big takeaways, is Seth Rollins' knee got fucked up. The Rock and Reigns really took, dude, he hasn't made a great movie in forever. I respect is earned. All right. But they screwed up Rollins' knee. Rollins is taking on Drew McIntyre tonight. He's damn sure not winning tonight. But I really, like, you could tell the crowd was getting restless. Especially in the last like 15-20, the crowd was kind of like, all right, you know. I actually posted it on my Twitter and in this Facebook Messenger group I run. You know, I posted the wrap it up B GIF, because yeah, it was dragging. It was really dragging. But again, credit where it's due. I thought that last 12 minutes was really engaging. Cody taking the pin, I'm not crazy about that. I think Rollins should have taken the pin. with that said, this is where I'm going to give WWE kind of an out. Because if Cody wins tonight, which my fucking God, if he doesn't win, I swear to God. But when Cody wins tonight, The Rock can always do the whole, I pinned you in a tag match. You might have beaten Roman, but you haven't beaten the final boss. So that could be your SummerSlam match. Your SummerSlam match could be The Rock against, The Rock against Roman Reigns. Or The Rock against Cody Rhodes. That could be your main event for SummerSlam. And I almost feel like that's where WWE is headed. I'm not sure where SummerSlam is going to be this year, but I mean, that's a marquee match. You can sell that match. It does not. Now, let me be clear. If you do Cody and The Rock, do not make it this long. That shit should be 18 minutes long, including entrances. Do not even, it should not even touch 20 minutes. But credit to The Rock, though. I thought he looked pretty good for the most part out there. If he is going to be wrestling more, dude, you've got millions of dollars. Get a fucking ring. Get a fucking ring in your backyard or wherever you train. Or like, seriously, dude, get some people from NXT to come out there and train with you. But like, come on, man, get back in the ring shape. I know some people say like he's ripped and all this. Like, yeah, being in shape is different than being in ring shape. There's a reason why. There's a reason why Sting, in his 60s, who just retired, was wrestling tag matches. He understood that he couldn't wrestle one-on-one matches. I actually think Sting looked just as good as Rock did, if not better, in his last AEW run here. But as far as the main event, like, it's frustrating because there are elements I liked about it, but that first 75% was just so goddamn boring. So I'd go B minus on it. You know what? I'll go B on it. Just because the last 15 was good, but yeah. No, B minus. B minus. Sorry, y'all. I can't go B. That's too generous. But yeah, now that sets the Bloodline rules for tonight. So you know you're gonna get interference from The Rock. You know you're gonna get interference from Solo Sikoa. You know you're gonna get interference from Paul Heyman. Rikishi will probably make an appearance as well. So, I mean, we're going to find out how deep Cody's Rolodex is. Does Cody call upon John Cena? Does he call upon Stone Cold Steve Austin? Like, does WWE basically have their in-game moment here tonight? We'll see. But wrapping up here, as far as my final thoughts, like I said, I thought the women's matches really delivered. I thought the Gunther Sami Zayn match was great. But yeah, the main event, I really would have preferred it to be Bayley versus Io, in that spot, as opposed to this tag match. You know, The Rock is on the TKO board. He could have just been like, yep, you're taking on my cousin, Bloodline rules. Like, we didn't need this match. I understand to an extent why they did it, but you could have jumped Rollins backstage or something. You didn't need to have him, injured going into this match with McIntyre. As far as a grade overall for night one, because the Jimmy J match really sucked. Like, it really, that brought me down a lot. And I wasn't crazy about the Mysterio tag match. So I mean, I'd go B minus for night one. The highs were really high. Like I said, the Lynch Ripley opening was great. The Gunther Zayn match was great. The women's six woman tag was great. But yeah, the lows were pretty low. So heading into night two, we've got a good card for night two. We've got Bayley versus Io Sky, which I think is going to, I think that really will steal the show. We've got the Pride and the Testament, that Philly street fight. That's Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, against Akim, Rezar, and Karrion Kross in that Philly street fight. That should be fun. It's two nights. This is the last night. So that should be fun. LA Knight versus AJ Styles could be a lot of fun. I am still agitated that LA Knight isn't challenging for the US title. I think that should be the match. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. That should be fun. God help me if Logan Paul retains, but he probably will. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. That should be fun. And then, you know, Cody Reigns, that should be a good match. The match last year was really great. I actually went back and watched it this morning. I hope they pull the trigger, because there is a point where you start to respect the scammer. Yep, Logan Paul is a scammer. That's for sure. Just like his brother. There is this point where WWE, like, you start to fuck your audience. And most of the audience, I mean, Cody Rhodes is like number one in merch sales. Like, he moves the needle. He stays after for house shows, and you know, he's posing with the trans flag with members of the LGBTQ community. He, like, Cody is a perfect ambassador for the brand right now. Fuck, Cody Rhodes gave a better response to the Vince McMahon allegations than Triple H did. Like, off that alone, he should be your world champion. So Cody should win it tonight. I think night two is shaping up to be better than night one. But I will say the results will play a large part in how I feel about night one. So, So I don't have the quote. If you just Google Cody Vince McMahon Royal Rumble, you should find the clip. But night two is tonight. I'm excited to watch it. I will have my thoughts on night two tomorrow. I'm going to be doing an early stream tomorrow. So it's going to be 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. I'll have my thoughts for Mania night two tomorrow. But everyone, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. If you're listening to it in the podcast form, I hope you guys enjoy night two of Mania. I'm excited. I'm excited to see, because here's the fucked up thing. If Cody loses, the internet would burn. And there's a sick part of me that almost wants to see what the internet would do if Cody were to lose. Like, it would be terrible. It would be the wrong decision. But I'm a sick man, and part of me wants to see that happen. But WWE, don't overthink this. Seriously, for fuck's sake, just have Cody win. Just have Cody win. But everyone, thank you so much for watching. And never forget, as always, to keep it real. I'll talk to y'all soon.